Take a look in Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, as we finish up this chapter, I told you I was going to try to do that last time and didn't get the job done. We're just going to take a look at this allegory that's here and try to get it considered and finish up this chapter here tonight. So you pray that the Lord will help and bless in it. Again, the Apostle Paul dealing with these churches in Galatia and Achaia, they've bought into another gospel, which is not another. They've taken Judaism and tried to drag it in there to add it to Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ is the only way that sinners are saved. He is the only one that sinners need for the salvation of their soul. And the brother is admonishing them and talking to them about that. He's talked to them about the history of Israel. He's given them other things to consider. And he comes here to this allegory that he wants to bring to them. It's relative to where the law was given. And that law that came, as he mentioned earlier, 430 years later. He says, is that going to enter in to a promise, a covenant that God had made with Abraham and change it? No, the seed is going to come. The seed has come, and the seed is Christ. And there's no other way of salvation but Him. In verse number 21 of chapter 4, he says, tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do ye not hear the law? And they want to be under the law from the standpoint of salvation. That's what he's dealing with, that side of our existence before the sinner is saved. And of course, these are saints that are being caught up with this, have been caught up with this. And he hadn't written them off. He hasn't just said, forget them and just let them go on their way. But he's in pleading them. I mean, he's writing, what's it say that this is to? The churches of Galatia. He's writing to several churches that this doctrine is coming into. He says, tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do ye not hear the law? Listen to what it says. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, right? The one by a bondmaid and the other by a free woman. Hagar and Sarah. We know that. We understand that. But he that was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. We'll take a look at that here if we can. And he of the free woman was what? It was by promise. That child was by promise. God promised that child. He showed us here in this book how it was when God made the promise to Abraham that he was speaking of Christ. But in that bringing of Christ, Isaac was part of that work. Okay? And so it says here, but he that is of the free woman was by promise. What do you want? You want something you can do and something you can work and something you can labor at, which will do nothing, as he's shown and proved, it'll just do nothing but bring you into bondage? Or do you want a promise?
Amen.
Isn't that what our salvation's based on? A promise by the Lord? What guarantee do you have that the Lord is going to do everything that he said he's going to do for you? Nothing but his word and his spirit. Amen? And the thing is they are not nothing. As a double negative for you. They are everything, aren't they? Because it's come from God. And it's the Spirit of God that lives within us. He said that earlier in the chapter, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. He said, verse 24, which things are an allegory, a representation of abstract or spiritual meaning, forgive me, I'm looking at my notes there and I can't read my own writing. An allegory, it's a representation of abstract or spiritual meaning through concrete or material forms. Okay, so he's going to take something that we know about. These two women, okay, the children that came from them, and the other things that he's going to say. Which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants, okay? There's two covenants that are there. The one from Mount Sinai, right? We've been looking at when the children of Israel have been going out of Egypt and the Passover that the Lord gave and the Feast of Unleavened Bread and how they're going to be making their way to Sinai and the Lord's going to give the law there. These are two covenants. The one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Agar or Hagar. That's her. That's that bondwoman. That's that bondage. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. We talked last time and mentioned, what is it that Jerusalem is full of right now? The giving of the law of God, and really, namely, as a nation, the misunderstanding of it. Is that a fair statement? Because what they were doing, what the Pharisees and what the Sadducees were pursuing, was their own interpretation and their own commentary about what the Word of God said. Now, not everybody was that way, but the leadership was, and the lion's share of them were, they misunderstood what God had given. They didn't see it. Because when Christ came, what'd they do with Him? They rejected Him. They didn't say, God's fulfilled the promise, and here you are, and receiving. They rejected Him, didn't they? Indeed, they did. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, with answer which and answereth or corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children, steeped in the law, and keeping of the law for salvation. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all, the heavenly, given by God, His ordained plan, His given word to tell about His plan, the Word being manifest in the flesh to fulfill it all. The giving of His sacrifice that is the end, that He, Jesus, is the end of all sacrifices, right? He answers to all of them. We've been seeing that on Sunday mornings. He said, Jerusalem which is above is free, which is the mother of us all. So Jerusalem here now, which is Agar, and which is Mount Sinai in Arabia, that's steeped in the law, or the promise, and a Jerusalem which is free, and that which is by faith, by the Word of God. Which do you want? Which do you want? Which would you like? And that's what He's in pleading with them about. He said, look at it. Look what you're saying by what you claim and what you're pursuing. Look at it. Consider it. For it is written, rejoice thou, barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not, for the desolate hath many more than she which hath an husband. See, it didn't look like the plan and the covenant and the promise was going to work with Abraham, did it? 100 years old, wife past barren. But with God, all things are possible, aren't they? Becky Williams. With God, all things are possible. Amen. And I praise God that He's been pleased to work and intervene for this lady. Amen. And I pray the Lord will continue to work in her life and her family's life. I praise the Lord for it, because God can do anything He wants, can't He? So what do you want? You want the law? Something you can't keep? And try and try and try and be chained to it. Think about that. Keeping of the law. If a man could even keep it from his birth and then get up there to 87 and a half, would it not be a curse that if a man could keep the law, and as you got to the end of your life, the pressure is building and mounting, one mistake and it's all for naught. I mean, consider it. It would be a curse to live long, wouldn't it? Amen? I mean, it just gendereth bondage. It brings it down. But He says here, the one that is barren, He says, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not, for the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. You know what's going to happen to Ishmael's children unless the Lord intervenes and saves them? They're going to die and go to hell. Now, has the Lord saved of them? I'm sure that He has. But that whole plan and that whole way was vain and empty and of man, wasn't it? We're going to look at that, how that came about. But you know what? Through Isaac, the Lord brought Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And Jesus in His own life, He laid aside, as it is natural and even ordained of God, that men have their family. That's the pattern. That's the practice. That's what God has ordained. But Jesus took that and laid that aside so He could have many more children.
Amen.
Spiritual children. Children that because of Him will live forever. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, His, by doing that which to man makes no sense, He has brought many sons to glory.
Amen?
I mean, it's the greatness of God. With us, His ways are so far above our ways, and His thoughts so above our thoughts. And to us, it looks like, well, there's the end of it. That ain't going to happen. That one king, Jehoiachin, and the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ, taken captive to Babylon, and then locked up in a cell to be by himself and not even be able to be with his wife and his family. But you know what? He just got lucky one day that the king's heart was changed towards him, and the king let him out of jail and let him be with his wife, and the man was able to have children and have a household that's in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sure was lucky, wasn't it? No, it wasn't lucky. It was God that moved. The heart of the king is in the Lord's hand. And when the plan looks impossible, oh, if God's promised it and God's working it, look out. May the Lord help us to remind one another of that. I tell you what, brothers and sisters, going forth, I'm going to need you to remind me of that. I'll do my best to remind you of it. Because when it looks bad and when it looks tough and when it looks impossible with us, that's the perfect opportunity for the Lord to shine and show His power. Lord, be in my helper. I haven't done it all the time. I want to do it more. But when something comes along that is grievous, that is heartbreaking, that is just hurts, I try to pray and bring that before the Lord. Lord, it's just another opportunity for you to show your power. Because I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. He says, rejoice. The one that seemed barren and didn't bear. Oh, when the Lord gets involved, the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Verse 28, now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. Isn't that great? I'm a child of the promise. I'm a child. The seed that was promised to Abraham was Christ. And I'm in there with Him because of Him.
Amen.
Because, what is it that He told Nicodemus? You must be born again. If you're saved, we've been born of the Lord, haven't we? We are that seed in Christ. He is the first fruits. He is the Father. Isn't that one of the names that the Old Testament in Isaiah tells that Jesus Christ's name is the everlasting Father? Yeah. And He has begotten us. He has birthed us spiritually. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then, he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. Ooh. We would do well, and we naturally don't want to, but we would do well just to go ahead and get a hold of that. Now, I'm not talking about having a persecution complex and getting down with the molly grubs and getting down lower than a snake's belly in a wagon wheel track, okay, all the time. But we would do well to understand that principle. Remember, folks, this is not home. We're just passing through.
Amen.
Was Abraham really treated great when he was sojourning in the land? Nah. Will we be? No. Do we yet need to forgive them? Mm-hmm. Do we need to bless them? Yes. Do we need to be a good witness to them? Yes. But understand the principle. We're foreigners. We're sojourners. And we have blessings. We have blessings of the Lord. But this is not our home. And you know what? We'll be able to be more settled and be more comfortable and have our focus where it ought to be on the Lord if we just understand that principle. This is not home. We're heading home. And that's glory to be with the Lord. And so it is. The The one that was born after the flesh persecuted the one that was born after the Spirit, and even so it is now. What's the implication that he's making? The implication is, that's what these, with this other gospel, are doing to you. Wake up and understand it, and get your focus back on the Lord, rather than your focus being back on what you prefer, what you want, or what you think you can do, or cause somebody else to do. Sinners aren't saved by the law. Sinners are saved by repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and through His grace and working and the bringing of His Word and the moving of the Spirit.
Amen.
It's not a carnal thing. And so he says, nevertheless, what saith the Scripture, verse 30? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. And he's taking the allegory and he's bringing it to the end, and he says, get rid of this junk. Cast it out. It won't do you any good. And I want to take a look At this point here. He says, nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. You know what? Those are here that at Olmsted Baptist Church that are here, have been here or will be, that believe that they're saved by something that they can do, don't have an inheritance with those of us that have been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we may be mingled together, and it may seem like some would be church members, and I'm not wanting to be down or derogatory towards anyone, but you know what? When the Lord meets out the inheritance, He's going to meet out the inheritance to those He saved. And you can't fake your way past it. You can't fake your way into it. There's not another way to be saved. There's not another way to step in and be a child. There's not another way to step in and be adopted. It's only by the Lord and salvation through Him. It ain't going to, because when it comes reckoning, when the Lord comes for His own, He's going to separate the sheep and the goats, isn't He? Yeah, it happens. It's going to happen. And so, He says, cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. Genesis chapter 21. Take a look at here. Genesis chapter 1, I want you to hold your finger at this place. Genesis chapter 21. Listen to what the Lord says here, and it's a principle that is here. And I want you to hold your finger here at Genesis 21, and real quick, turn over here to Genesis 16. We'll just go ahead and take a look at this. This is another point that could be, or the point to be made, and even a message that could be preached from this and applied to our lives in a couple different ways. In Genesis chapter 16, bad advice from Sarai. Now, we can't hang the whole thing on her, okay? So men, don't get carried away. Your wife gives you bad advice and you take it, you're responsible. You're responsible for your household. There ain't no getting out of it. You can't take and blame her. And she's there to be a helpmeet to you. But you can't lay it on her. Bad decisions are our problem.
Amen.
So just go ahead and stand up and buck up and just say that understand that's the way it is. Bad advice from Sarai. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children. And what is it? The Lord just gave him a promise in 15, and so he gets busy about fulfilling it. Okay, listen to this. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children. And she had an handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go into my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened unto the voice of Sarai. There's where he made the mistake. There's where he erred. There's where he sinned. He hearkened. What's hearken mean? Listen and obey. He hearkened unto her voice. What did Adam do? Adam is the reason we're in the shape that we're in now. Now, because Adam did what he did, he imparted unto us a nature that we naturally want it just like it is. We love sin. Okay? And so, but what did he do? He hearkened to his wife. Okay? Does that mean wives are bad? No. Wives are good. Because who gave the first wife? The Lord. Where was marriage instituted? in the garden before sin. Okay, so it doesn't mean that wives are bad, but it means men, we need to follow what the Lord would have us to do. Our wife is there for a helpmeet, and we're going to see where our wives can give good advice, but our wives might give bad advice too, and we've got to reckon it well. It pays, young person, you're here and you're not married, it pays for you to seek a spouse under the guidelines and the dictates of the Word of God. Because you want a spouse that will give you good advice. Okay, so anyway. She says what she says. Abraham hearkened to her voice. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her a husband, Abram, to be his wife. And he went unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. Didn't think about that. She was submissive before, but now she's in the family, and she lost all that. And Sarai said unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee. And it has been ever since, hadn't it? My wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. And so bad advice and the bad taking of advice. Abraham is guilty of it. But then we look over here in chapter 21, and we see here, bad advice by Sarai. Bad advice received by Abram from Sarai. In chapter 21, and the Lord visited Sarah, verse 21 of chapter 21, Genesis 21, verse 1. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. Is that a surprise? May God help us that it not be a surprise. Such and such is going on, and we need to pray for it. We need to pray about it. You pick the occasion, whatever it is, okay? But we got to pray about it. Our brothers and sisters bring it to us, we bring it to one to another, we got to pray about it. And then we come around and say, you know what? God's taken that thing, and He's worked in it, and it's a wonderful, great thing that's happening. And what do we say sometimes? Really? I hate me for doing that. But that's what I do. Really? You know, the Lord's done that? Well, didn't we pray that He would? We're supposed to ask in faith. Oh, I'm in there. Well, it's my problem, and I know you don't have that problem, but I gotta reckon that. And so, as the Lord did these things, verse 3, and just like He said, and Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, find that interesting, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear me here will laugh with me. Is she happy? Oh yeah, the blessings of the Lord will give you joy. And she said, Who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. Is she smiling or grimacing? She's got a smile that's about from ear to ear, doesn't she? And the child grew and was weaned. And Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne to Abraham, mocking. He was making fun of the entire affair and making fun of Isaac. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. So here she's given some advice. And what's God say about the advice? Because see, that's what we need to estimate. The Lord has given our spouse, the Lord has given us one to another, or to whom you're married, and the Lord's given us one to another, and the headship arrangement that the Lord has made in the home, our wife is there to be a helpmeet, and we do need to listen, and we do need to understand. But I tell you what, fellas, when we make decisions in our home, we need to make sure it's what the Lord wants. Because the thing is, as much as we love our wives, we need to love the Lord most.
Amen.
Yeah. And I know you love your wives. I know you do. We need to love the Lord first. First. That's the way it is. And that's no compromise at all or a lessening of our wife at all. That's the way it's to be. Verse 11, and the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. Because sometimes doing what's right will cause us some grief because we're connected to it. It will be. But then Abraham did, the Lord dealt with him about it. Verse 12, and God said to Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman. And all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice. That's what the Lord said. Why? Because she gave advice according to what the Lord would have. And it was good advice. And Abraham was grieved by it. And our sin will grieve us. It'll bring us grief. But it was what the Lord was pleased with to be done. So good advice, heeded by Abraham, given by Sarah, his wife. Let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman. And all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And also the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed. Now, I want you to understand a principle that's here. The Lord made a promise to the man Abram and to the man Abraham. And even though Abram did not obey the Lord and waited on the Lord, he sinned. But you know what? The Lord made good on his promise that the seed that came out of Abraham would be blessed of him. Now, Isaac was the promised of God's plan. But even though Ishmael was born of Abraham, God honored what he said. What it has to do with is with responsibility, or with a blessing, and with privilege comes responsibility. Now, that blessing upon Ishmael, it'd have been better if the Lord hadn't blessed Ishmael, wouldn't it? But see, God made a promise that every seed that would come out of Abraham would be blessed. Now, Isaac was the one that the Lord's focus was upon, because that was of him. These others were not, but it didn't thwart the Lord, did it? It didn't thwart the Lord. Abraham's sin didn't thwart the Lord. And he did honor what he said he would do for that which would come from Abraham. But that in itself has been a plague upon Abraham's promised seed, hadn't it? Been a problem. It will be till the end. Will be to the end. And so Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and bottle of water and gave it to Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. Back over here in Galatians chapter 4. So this allegory given, this yet another plea to the brethren there in the churches of Galatia. What do you want? Do you want bondage or do you want a promise? Do you want the promise of the Lord? Do you want that which is by faith in God's doing? Or do you want that which we accomplish in ourselves, or think that we can accomplish in ourselves, that just indeed brings us to bondage? How is it with you? Nevertheless, verse 30, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, a quote from Sarah, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. It just will not be. So then, brethren, we are not the children of the bondwoman, but we are children of the free. And may God help us, help us, help us to understand this freeness, this liberty that we have in Christ. Verse 23, free woman. Verse number 26, Jerusalem, which above, is free. Verse number 31, we are the children of the free. No wonder the brethren of Galatia, when the apostle came to them, he said in verse number 14, and my temptation which was in my flesh ye despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Why? He brought tidings of freedom, liberty, free from sin. free from the condemnation of sin, free from being in bondage to this old flesh and not even having a clue about having a problem. That's naturally where we were. But the light has shined through the preaching of the gospel and the salvation of the Lord, and liberty has been given. That, we either say that's what we've been given. We've been set free. Free, free, free. Set free to serve the Lord.